Welcome to Literary Speaking with Crystal Lee Quibell. Literary Speaking is the author's guide to writing and publishing, sharing tips and tricks for aspiring authors. Crystal Lee's expert guests will bring you the latest information on how to write and publish your book into being. Are you ready to tell your story? Here's your host.
Welcome to Literary Speaking. I'm your host, Crystal Lee Quibell, and today we're talking to Albert Flynn DeSilver. Albert is the author of Beamish Boy, I Am Not My Story, a memoir of recovery and awakening. He's also an internationally published poet, artist, teacher, and writing coach. Albert, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Crystal. Delighted to be here.
Great. So, Albert, in your memoir, Beamish Boy, you detail your life growing up under some tumultuous circumstances and how you struggled yourself with drugs and alcohol. What really inspired you to write this?
Wow. Well, you know, besides the circumstances, I had been writing poetry for years, and the story wouldn't go away, and it wanted to be told in a different way. And somehow in a more narrative, traditionally narrative fashion, it seemed to me. And so it just kept nagging and nagging, and poetry wasn't the answer. So I started writing prose, writing down some scenes and reading other people's memoirs and getting more and more inspired and feeling like, well, maybe I have a story here that can help people and that can also help me. You know, really process it and deal with it and kind of get it out of the inside of me, you know, out of my bones, out of my muscles, out of my head and onto the page. And it kind of started from there.
Wow.
And
so
then
how long
actually,
in total
you know, I went
it,
to
it,
a,
Peter?
I went to a community writing workshop. There's a San Francisco Chronicle columnist named Adair Lara, who does memoir workshops. And so a bunch of years ago, I went to one of her workshops just to check it out, learn a little bit more about memoir writing, and shared a little bit about my story. And people just looked at me in shock and were like, oh, you have a story to tell for sure. So I was like, oh, okay. It was a little bit more validation there.
Yeah, for sure. So how long total did it take you to write the book from beginning to write till you were ready to query agents?
Oh, boy. Well, my entire life, really. But technically, the writing portion of the program, oh, I would say it took about 3 years. Yeah, to really, you know, I had to learn how to write prose. That was the hardest part for me.
Yeah.
Because I'd been writing poetry for so long, I wasn't sure if I could complete a sentence, really. So I had to learn that process and practice and practice and practice, and it just kind of went on from there.
I love that. With memoir, you know, there's so many writers that will speak up and say they kind of fear the backlash they might receive from family and friends. And, you know, when you publish memoir, you're really putting it out there. Did you have any experience with this? Did you experience sort of that fear of putting it out and not knowing what you would receive in return?
Sure. You know, I think it's important. For me, it was really important just to tell my story. And first of all, to tell it to myself. And to get clarity on it and to have that, you know, 10,000-foot perspective. And and then I didn't know what would happen with it. I wasn't sure whether I'd want to make it a public thing. But when I decided to do that, I did want to respect, you know, how it would be received in the world. And as I was completing the memoir, which includes a lot about my mother, she's sort of the main character besides me. And so I was almost finished with the book, ready to kind of sew it up. And my mom got sick with cancer.
Oh, wow.
And a severe, you know, state terminal, basically. And so I had to revision the whole program, you know. And I ended up redoing the end of the book, and the last chapter is actually, the last chapter is called Beamish Girl, and it's about mm-hmm. her dying, and this mm-hmm. whole resolution around love and forgiveness that was crucial to my healing and kind of connecting with my mom and letting her go.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have to, I never really discussed the book with her that much. She was a little bit mortified, but didn't want to read it and didn't want to know. And then she died, and it was up to me to be as mm-hmm. kind of open and truthful as possible. I did run into some issues with a friend of mine. There's a section of the book about this psychedelic therapy cult that I was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend was kind of involved in the meltdown of the whole group, and, you know, with some pretty difficult behavior. And so
mm-hmm.
he didn't like a lot of what I was writing about his
yeah.
role. And so I ended up basically just editing it out because I realized it didn't add or take away from the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it made him feel a whole lot better.
Well, that's nice because, you know, a lot of people, you know, we write memoir and there is that fear, right, that we'll upset somebody. And then there's also, you know, a part of us that needs to write the truth out and get
Absolutely.
It out there. But it is really, I think there is a part where you write everything and then you edit it down. And not to take everybody's feedback, but somebody that is that close to you and is willing to say, you know, I'm uncomfortable, and you can, you know, shape it and make them comfortable as well, because you really want to tell the best story without hurting everyone. And I think that's what a lot of memoirists aim to do. It's for you, not for other people.
Right. Well, that's very true. And, you know, there's lots of ways of just covering people's identities, and, you know, everyone had a fictional name in my book,
mm-hmm.
except maybe my parents. So nobody really, you'd have to really be an intimate to know who was who.
Mm-hmm. So during this, you know, the writing process and the whole book process, because you've published, you know, poetry and memoir, and what part did you find the most challenging? Was it the writing or the editing or perhaps querying or negotiating publishing contracts? You know, there's so much to writing a book, but
yeah.
What?
Well, it's all daunting and all challenging and all equally rewarding on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to put on different hats and engage in different mind for different portions of the program. You know, your creative mm-hmm. writing hat is, and creative writing mind is very different than your proposal mind and your querying mind. You sort of have to get into the mind of the agent and the editor. You know, so there's those sort of three different minds that one has to be able to shift back and forth from in order to complete a book. But if I had to pick one, I think this day and age, the agent querying is the hardest thing. I have a new agent mm-hmm. now for my novel, and it's just been such an amazing journey. Like, I just can't even believe how difficult it's been. It's really remarkable. You know, there's such a limited, I don't know, you know, they have the power to be really specific about what they like and what they want in this day and
mm-hmm.
age, you know, if you really want a mainstream publisher. So they don't, you know, most of the time they don't even respond to your emails.
Mm-hmm.
But all it takes is one. All it takes
yes.
is one. You know, so you just, one has to keep at it. I mean, between my memoir and my novel, I've probably queried over 70 agents.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've
yeah,
heard,
and
I have colleagues who have queried over 150.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up to
200. Yeah, you really have to be resilient, you know. It's about resiliency. Absolutely. Well, everyone, you're listening.
You have to fall in love with the word no. But keep in your mind and your heart for yourself always the word yes.
That's great advice. Everyone, you're listening to Literary Speaking with Crystal Lee Quibel, and today we're talking with author and writing teacher Albert Flynn De Silver. When we come back from the break, we're going to discuss his widely popular writing workshops and retreats with authors like Cheryl Strayed, Elizabeth Gilbert, and David Eggers. We'll be right back.
Your story is begging to be told, but do you know where to start? Crystal Lee Quibel is dedicated to helping you achieve your book publishing dreams. Go to CrystalLeeQuibel.com. That's Crystal Lee Quibel, Quibell.com, and sign up for Crystal Lee's newsletter today.
Welcome back to Literary Speaking. I'm your host, Crystal Lee Quibel, and we're continuing our conversation today with poet and memoirist Albert Flynn De Silver. Albert, you've hosted writers' retreats and workshops, and you've gotten to work with Cheryl Strayed and Elizabeth Gilbert. How did this opportunity sort of come into being?
Yeah, great question. Basically, I asked. You know, that phrase, ask and it is given. I've always taken that to heart and taken it kind of literally, but literally. And so I've done various events over the years when I was publishing poetry and doing events around poetry. I used to do some benefit events for the California Poets in the Schools program, and then I just kind of wanted to ramp it up a little bit, and I was getting more interested in memoir. And when Cheryl's book, you know, a colleague, the great memoirist and novelist Pam Houston, I saw a post of hers about Cheryl Strayed on Facebook, and I hadn't heard of Cheryl. And I read her essay in the Sun magazine, and I was just like, whoa! You know, it just sent chills up my spine. I was like, who is this woman? And this was right before Wild came out, and I hadn't read her novel. But then Wild hit stores. I read it, loved it. And on a whim, I was just like, wow, wouldn't it be great to bring her to Northern California and do an event? First, I thought around up in Lake Tahoe. I wanted to do something near the Pacific Crest Trail. And so I just pitched her agent. I got in touch with her agent in New York. And, I mean, I always know, but I didn't have, like, Brilliant Writer didn't exist at the time, and I was just sort of a funny nobody. But for some reason, her agent wrote back, and Cheryl was kind of interested, but they didn't want to do a weekend thing up in Tahoe. They said, how about something down in the Bay Area? So I booked a hotel, and just I sort of made it up as I went along, and then it just sort of started snowballing, and we ended up putting on an amazing event for about 270 people in Petaluma, California, in 2013, and it was such a huge success. Cheryl loved it. We all loved it. All the participants had an amazing time. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And then I asked Cheryl again to do something in Maui, Hawaii, a couple of years later. And that just happened this spring. And, you know, once that happened, then it's like, oh, you're the guy that does these events with best-selling authors. So when I approached Liz, the timing was kind of perfect because she was coming out with her new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear, and was actually open to doing a workshop. She'd never taught a workshop. I thought this, you know, I thought she did it all the time for some reason, but she had never taught a writing workshop, and this was her very first one. So it was perfect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
That's the story.
Wow. And so, you know, you also have other, do you have any other writing retreats that are coming up with different authors or anything?
Yeah, well, you know, I do two things. I do these best-selling author events with people like Cheryl and Liz, but I also do my own events. They're a little more intimate, depending on the venue, but I teach at a lot of spiritual centers like Spirit Rock out in California here, and the Esalen Institute, the Omega Institute, Holly Hawk, we were talking about this off air, which is up in Vancouver in Canada. And those workshops are much more one-on-one with me, and They range anywhere from 20 to 50 people. Sometimes they're up to 100 people, like at my day long at Spirit Rock. But those are a way that people can really hone in intensively, not only on the writing process, but also on the being process. Because I teach a lot of mindfulness and meditation, which helps people transcend writer's block, helps them really get into the mindset of being able to complete a book. Because writing a book it's not for wimps. It's a huge endeavor to really follow through, to really write a good publishable book. It's a huge endeavor, and one has to really get over a lot of their self-limiting beliefs about what they're capable of.
That's so true.
I mean, that's what I found in my experience. And I think it's, like, in this day and age, anybody can, you know, you can write a nice little simple book and kind of get it out to your friends and, you know, publish it online and stuff. But, you know, to really do a book that's going to transform people's lives, it takes a huge amount of commitment and editing and process and a whole team of people to help bring it to the world.
Mm-hmm. What would you say when people come to, you know, a writing retreat or a workshop, is there a theme of probably the most common concern among writers?
Yeah, I mean, it varies. People are at different stages. You know, some people have a lot of doubt, self-doubt and self-criticism. You know, is this any good? Or it's never any good. Anything I write is never any good. You know, that kind of thing can be a hindrance. A lot of people tend to have just a challenge of completing something. Or they might have written for years and years, but it's all scattered and all over the place, so they need it kind of compressed and edited down. It's never really one thing. But, you know, and then a lot of the questions tend to come around, okay, so I have this good idea, I have some good notes and done a lot of great writing. You know, how do I approach the publishing world? You know, how do I deal with that? And do I self-publish? Do I go with a traditional publisher? Do I go with a small publisher? Do I do a hybrid kind of a thing? You know, there's so many different options these days.
Absolutely. What do you think is probably the best advice you've received about writing?
God, probably shut up and write. It's a moniker I've been seeing in the Bay Area for years. I think it's a writing group in San Francisco, just some people who get together every, you know, week or something, and they have a sort of a quiet, silent, free writing thing. It's just, you know, that's it. Shut up and write. You know, our minds are constantly going, chatter, 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 and coming up with excuses and ideas and self-imposed limitations and conditioned habits of thought and so forth that keep us from actually sitting down in the chair and doing the hard work of writing. And so I think just shut up and write is like the best advice I've ever heard. Stay committed,
so
you know,
true.
Stay with the process and you will succeed.
Absolutely. So for when you were writing, I mean, you're finished writing, did you end up going with an editor before you pitched to an agent, or did you just, you know, polish on your own and then approach agents and work with an editor with the publishing house?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the prose world is still relatively new to me. I've only been writing prose for about the last 5 years. So with my novel, for example, that I just finished this year and landed a new agent for, I worked with no fewer than four private editors. So I started with, you know, I took it as far as I could on what I knew. And then I hired a developmental editor for stage one, and then I hired another developmental editor. and then I hired a copy editor toward the end before I pitched to an agent. You know, I really wanted to make this book as good as possible before
Absolutely.
I went to any agents. And then, you know, now I'm with the agent, and we're going to go into another round of edits before we pitch the publishers. So,
yeah,
it's an incredible process.
It
but
really
I do
is,
recommend
there.
People to do that, to hire a professional, and I underline the word professional, experienced editor. Somebody who, if you want to publish mm-hmm. with the top five, you know, the Random Houses or the Vikings, et cetera, then you need to hire a professional editor that's actually worked editing books that have been published at that level.
Absolutely.
You know, it's easy to find sort of a local editor and say, oh, yeah, I've edited some novels and so forth. But I think you really need to scrutinize a little bit and find somebody who has that core experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic advice because a lot of people, you know, have a dream to publish with the top five. And I think when I began writing, I was so green and I had no idea. I thought you just wrote a draft and sent it off and that was it.
Right.
And now, you know, when you're into the thick of it and you're on, you know, a second or third editor, a lot of writers wonder, you know, am I wasting my money? Am I wasting my time? Should I be querying this? But I think what you said is so important. You want to put out the absolute best work you can to put it in the hands of an agent who can take it to the top five. So really, how do you think people, or how do people find editors that have worked with the top five?
Well, I mean, I have a very specific recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
A woman I know, Natasa Lekic, she's out of New York. She has a company called New York Book Editors. I think they're at mm-hmm. New York, nybookeditors.com might be the website. But she is fantastic. I met with her personally in New York, and all of her, she doesn't directly hire, but she has a pool of editors. They're all freelance editors that have experience with the top five publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And they've worked primarily in fiction and memoir. And I've worked with at least one or two of their editors, and they were fantastic. And so they're a really great recommended resource for people who want to publish at that level. And not everybody does. I mean, you know, it may be perfectly appropriate to do, you know, your first book as a self-published, which isn't to say you mm-hmm. don't want to hire possibly
Absolutely.
Fine. You do. You always do. And that kind of level is appropriate for even self-publishing, even more so if you want to really sell books and get it out there.
Yes, you want to have the best work out there possible. Even if you're self-publishing, you want to make sure there's no spelling mistakes. And I guess for our listeners, that's the difference between a developmental editor and the copy editor, because the developmental is really the structure of the story and making things flow. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah,
and
that
then,
for someone like me who didn't have experience as a memoirist or as a prose writer or even an essayist, structure is that's a tough thing to learn, story structure. And in mm-hmm. memoir in particular, you think, oh, well, I can just tell what happened in my life and I can go chronological and this happened and that happened and that happened. But that's not really a story. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need rising action and we need diversity of character and we need that evolution of a character through various stages of the story to really make it compelling and interesting and be able to see that transformation and that change. But that takes a lot of practice and a
mm-hmm.
lot of study.
And that's what writing really is, you know, building practice and study
mm-hmm.
to better your prose as you move forward through each book. Before we say goodbye here, Albert, I'm just curious, you know, what's the one message you would like people to take away from Beamish Boy?
Ah, from Beamish Boy. Well, it's really that we are not our story. You know, I wrote Beamish Boy to tell my story, to kind of let it out and let it go, and to let go really of the conditioning that had built up in my mind around self-limitation and self-worth. And I realized through writing the story that I am not my story, if that makes sense. You know, so often we can get conditioned into believing that we are our past and that we are our wounds. But Beamish Boy is all about knowing that we're greater than our story. We're that which makes our story possible. And that is an infinite sense of possibility within us for our creativity, for our compassion, for our love, for our being in the world. And that's really what writing that book was all about for me.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Albert. You've given so much great advice to our listeners and everyone. You can find Albert online at albertflynndesilver.com. That's Albert Flynn, FLYNN, desilver.com. You can also sign up for his writing tips at brilliantwriter.com. And please make sure you order a copy and leave a review on Amazon and Goodreads for all of our authors that come on the show. Please join us next time on Literary Speaking for more tips and tricks on how to get your work published as we speak with Lena Fogelberg, author of the memoir Beautiful Affliction. Visit crystalleequible.com and sign up for my newsletter to receive updates and bonus Q&A material from our guests. I'm your host, Crystal Lee. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Literary Speaking with your host, Crystal Lee Quibell. To start discovering how you can begin telling your story, go to crystalleequibell.com. That's Crystal Lee Quibell, Quibell.com. And sign up for Crystal Lee's newsletter. Join us again next week for more advice from your favorite authors and publishing professionals.